I wondered if any of you are gardeners. Any of you out here are yard work junkies, love doing yard work, love doing stuff that gets you outside, and you like planting. You like planting, like plants and soil. You like getting in the soil and getting your fingers dirty. Anybody out there? I mean, somebody, if you look at you and they'd say, oh, that person has a green thumb as opposed to having a brown thumb, right? Yeah. Yeah. If you look at my mother, she's been planting all of her life. And she, when she plants something, she don't, all she has to do is wink at it and it's growing already. So, I mean, that's what my mother's like gardening. But my name's Keith, by the way, Keith Harcombe. I'm a lead pastor here at Palm Harbor. And we're on our second week of stories Jesus told. And we're talking about the way Jesus communicated the most with the people around him, especially those who were following him around Galilee and the northern region of Israel. And each time he was met with people who were talking to him, he would teach through the use of story. Often the stories were not planned out. He didn't have like an exegetical way to plan out the story. He just spoke with what he was wanting to communicate, and he used story. Last week we talked about a whole chapter designated to talking about those who are lost. And last week we talked about the lost sheep, the lost coin, just make reference to them. But mostly we talked about the parable of the lost son and how we are to rejoice when someone who is lost and is found, we're to be like, throw a party, remember? So if you know somebody who is lost and is now found, you do what? Throw a party. So that was last week. This week we're talking about one of the key teachings of Jesus in the parable of the soils, or parable of the sower. Well, as we get more into the story, you'll understand more that the story is about the soil. As I mentioned, my mother was an avid gardener, and for some reason, she got us in the garden to dig all the time. I think, you know, after all these years have gone by, you wonder why your parents get you to do something, don't you? And you wonder why they got you into the garden every day. I think my mother was just kind of sick of being stuck in the cold house in England with my brother and I, and was like, get out, get in the garden and do some digging. I love going to the garden. It was a small garden, but it was meant to be taken care of by six flats, the six apartments that were there, and nobody wanted to do it. So my mother and Muggins here ended up taking care of the garden. And very early on, I remember mother teaching us how to plant a seed and how to plant a plant. You know, you can buy the plants from the store and how you should do it. And she was very careful in telling us that you can't plant it too near and close to the concrete because there won't be room for it to grow the roots, you know? And she was very, like, into how deep the soil went. And so it was important that you dug enough soil in there so the bulb of the plant could go into the soil. Anybody tracking with me, you gardeners out there, you've got to have a good, deep soil before it's going to grow. She would also make sure to tell us that all the bricks and rocks were out the way so that the plant could really take root. So no rocks in the way, no nice and deep, not too shallow. And then she'd make sure it wasn't next to those pesky plants. You know, the plants that just grow no matter what you do to them, you cut them down, they keep coming back, you know, and they're just like wildfire. Every time you cut them back, it's like, I'm sure I just cut that thing down. She'd make sure that was out the way. And so she'd have us out there, you know, have us slaving away, digging up things, throwing things away. And it would be raining. It would always rain in England. And so you see sometime that the plant would grow. Sometimes the plants wouldn't grow, even if you didn't place them close to the edge, even if you got rid of all the rocks and bricks that were in the way, even if you cut back the thorny branches and cut back the pesky plants that are in the way, sometimes that plant didn't grow, right? And it's frustrating. It's frustrating even though you do everything to make sure that the plant should grow, it doesn't grow. Even when it was raining in England, some plants didn't grow. After a while, Mum would say, she'd look out the window. We were like two floors up in our little apartment, and she'd look down and say, look, that one, see it? You planted that one. It's growing. It's growing, see it? You planted that. It's growing. And that was a good day. We like to see the plants growing, right? We like to see the fact that the work that we put in, the sweat out there in the rain, it worked. The plant is growing. But sometimes the plants don't grow, and it's frustrating. Sometimes the seeds that we place into the ground with all the precautions still don't grow. Jesus was in the north of Galilee, and in Galilee, people had found out that this guy had some good teaching going on. They found out that he'd moved to the upper parts in Galilee where nobody was really caring about, and this is where he was teaching, and people were following him everywhere. The word was out. It's almost like Lionel Messi moved to Florida and moved into Miami and was shopping in Publix. But everyone was following Jesus wherever he went, and so he would often speak extemporaneously about what he was passionate about and what he wanted us to know. And so this is an occasion, and everyone was following. They got to the lake in Galilee, and he's like, okay, I'm going to push a boat out so I have a natural amphitheater. I'm going to push a boat out so that my voice is amplified, and I'm going to talk to the people on the shore. And he started to teach. Now, I don't know what was happening in and around amongst Israel at the time, but either he's seen a farmer the night before or he was watching one as he was speaking, but he started to tell this story that Linda read to you this morning. And we're gonna look at it again. Of course, it's in Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 is where we are, and we're gonna start around verse 3. And notice the first word he says. We're going to put the verses for you on the screen. If you've got your Bible, by the way, open it. It's a good time right now, or go to it on your phone. Mark chapter 4, verse 3. Notice the first word he says. What's he say? Listen. A farmer. So he kind of I don't know how you do that. Calm all those people down. They're all on the seabed, right? They're all on the shore, and he's calming them down. Listen. A farmer went out to plant some seed. As he scattered it across his field, some of the seed fell on a footpath, and the birds came and ate it. Other seed fell on a shallow soil with underlying rock. The seed sprouted quickly because the soil was shallow, but the plant soon wilted under the hot sun. And since it didn't have any deep roots, it died. Other seed fell among the thorns that grew up and choked out the tender plants, so they produced no grain. Still, other seeds fell on fertile soil, and they sprouted, grew, and produced a crop that was 30, 60, and even 100 times as much as had been planted. So Jesus talks about four kind of areas. The first one, he just talks about this farmer that is throwing seed. Now, there's two ways to cast seed. I've learned the average way, a male or female, would just have a bag on the side here and cast it out and walk and cast randomly. The other way is for it's kind of like the bit more progressive way, was that the donkey would carry a bag with a slit in the back behind it, and he'd walk along, and the seed would go behind him. Of course, the donkey would walk in straight lines, and you make sure the donkey walk in straight lines. And after a while, the donkey would make a flat path. And so the seed would fall on the path and indeed on the beds either side of the path. So Jesus might have seen this donkey walking along and this flat path and the seed just falling on the top. And he says the seed, of course, the seed is what? The seed is the gospel, the evangelion, himself, the message. He says the seed sometimes falls on the path. People hear it and it bounces right off almost. And later on, he says that actually the birds come along, and that represents Satan coming along and taking away the gospel from you. He uses the symbol of birds. Satan can use anything he wants. He can use all sorts of different things to take away a decent message from you. And Jesus says this in this chapter here. The seed on the ground represents God's word. The seed that falls on the footpath represents those who hear the message only to have Satan to come at once and take it away. So this path that you can see in Israel, that you would have been able to see in first century Israel, was the first symbol. The second symbol he talks about is that they fell on the ground with a rock or shallow soil. So it's a rocky soil. So not among rocks, but actually soil with rocks in it. So unable to grow, or not deep enough for the roots to go down. Not deep enough for something good to grow out of it. Perhaps the soil gets planted at a conference or a worship night or a great event that says, oh, surely the presence of the Lord was in that place. I felt it. I knew it. But the place that you place yourself in after the concert or after the event is a rocky place. It's a place which doesn't allow the roots to take a bit more depth. It's a place, rocks inside of there, it's just things that get in the way. Things that get in the way of good gospel teaching. So there's the path, there's the rocky places. Sometimes you can easily lose the gospel message if somebody makes fun of you, cancels you for a belief you have. So there's the path, the rocky places, and then there's the places with the thorns. The place where the thorny plants, those pesky plants, get in the way and kind of just choke out the message from you. The cares of this world, Jesus says, on circumstances out of our control, places where we never thought would happen to us, choke out the joy of the message from us. They choke these things out of us, and we don't understand anymore the joy of following Jesus. So that's the three, the path, the rocky place, and the thorny place. And then mercifully, Jesus says, it also falls on what? Good soil. Good soil. It falls on good soil, and it can be translated there, fertile land. Fertile land, or what Scott McKnight says, beautiful land. And when the soil falls on, when the seed falls on beautiful land, what do we get? 30, 60, or 100 times growth. 15 years ago, I was doing a fun youth drama up here. And it was this very scripture. And when we got to this point of the scripture, where we talked about growth. We had one student standing here, and someone was reciting the scripture, and they said, when it got to this point, it said 30, somebody went, boo. And then when we got to 60, it can grow 60, somebody went, boo. And then we got to 100, the person on the end went, boo. I've never forgotten that. And the kids loved it. The students loved it. Everyone remembered that drama. Everyone remembered this tale, because the tale that Jesus tells, the stories that Jesus tells are powerful, amen? And they reside within our soul, reside within our heads and hearts a lot longer than we realize. And the interesting thing about this teaching, I mean, if I was Jesus, I would have left this little bit out. The interesting thing about this teaching is that Jesus recognizes, I mean, if you're, okay, you're literally following Jesus, you're literally following around trying to see what he teaches, and you're on the shore, and you're listening to him, and he says, some of you, I'm telling you the gospel right now, some of you are not going to listen. I'm telling you to listen, by the way, in this verse alone, in this chapter alone, it says listen 13 times. In the entire book, the entire Gospel of Mark, it's 44 times. The Gospel of Mark is the smallest gospel. You know what Mark's message was? Listen. Jesus says, I recognize that some of you, this message is going to fall on hard places. I recognize that some of you, this message is going to fall on rocky places. And I recognize that some of you, it's going to fall on thorny places. And some of you aren't going to get it. In fact, those of you that do get it, there's no guarantee that it's going to be fruitful 100 times. He says, some of you, it's going to multiply 30 times. He says, some of you, it's going to multiply 60 times. Some of you, it's going to be real good, and it's going to multiply 100 times. This is Jesus' revelation about his own message. Not about my message, not about your message, about his own message. Some of you, because I've created you that way, some of you, I've created you in a way that you still won't listen. Me too. Akoue is the word. The Greek word is akoue. And it means listen carefully. Listen carefully to what's going on. Make sure to listen. Pay attention to what's being, be able to hear. Jesus recognized there was voices out there that are crowding out his message. You can bet in first century Israel that the message was being crowded out by many different voices. But that's changed in 2023. We just don't have that many voices anymore, right? There's voices everywhere. And these voices make it sound flat. It flattens the message. It's rocky and it's thorny, and these trees kind of cloud out the gospel message in our own life. Jesus recognizes that that's going to happen. And sometimes, even though we've heard the message a lot, even though we've heard the gospel, even though we felt a moment in our life when the Holy Spirit touched us and showed us who we were, even though we recognize that Jesus loves us, even though that God the Father is the best kind of Father you can have, even still, there's some rocky places in our lives where we don't really want to trust. There's some places in our lives that are getting crowded out by those thorny, pesky trees. Oh, sure. We want to grow 30. We want to grow 60. We want to grow 100. But sometimes the message gets crowded out by the voices, by the concerns, and by the things that happen to us in this world. And Jesus says in verse 9, very frustrating thing. He says, then he says, anyone with ears to hear should listen and understand. I'm not sure what the intonation was of Jesus there. Anyone with ears to hear should listen to understand. Or was it declarative? Anyone with ears to hear must listen and understand. Was he like, I guess I'll quote this scripture from Isaiah. When they see what I do, will they learn nothing? When they hear what I say, will they not understand? Otherwise, they will turn to me and be forgiven. This verse, Jesus understood that some people right in front of him were not going to hear. Oh, sure, they're listening, but they're not going to hear. And the disciples ask him later what it means, and the whole thing's explained right there for you what it all means. It's one of the best teachings of Jesus. And if you've heard the gospel, if you've heard the message, and you know it deep in your heart, and it's an anchor for your life, praise God. If you're growing 30 or 60 or 100, praise God. If you know this in the depths of your heart and nothing crowds out that message, praise the Lord. But sometimes it's frustrating when things don't grow, amen? Sometimes it's frustrating when we've done all the planting, when we've kept it away from the sidewalk, we've kept it away, we put dug down deep, we've cleared out all the rocks, we've kept it away from those pesky and thorny bushes, and yet still it doesn't grow. It's frustrating. Come on, man. I did everything you asked me to do. Sometimes it's frustrating. As some of you know, I went on a mission trip last month, to Guatemala. And part of the mission trip was to different people to give a devotion in the morning. Different people. It was a good age range of people. We went from 12 all the way up to 68. And so good age range of different people that were there. And I was, you know, frustrated. You know, it seems like Generation Z is not going back to church, and nobody really cares anymore about church and the gospel message. It's like all running around my head kind of thing, and no one's responding. What they really want on Sunday is just brunch, and nobody's coming to church. That was kind of what was going around in my head. Until this one morning when Caroline was given the devotion. And Caroline was a young woman. She's just got out of college. She was going to graduate school. And while she was in college, she had a group of students that were getting together for a Bible study. And these people were avid in their prayers and following Jesus with all they could. And they, too, were frustrated that there weren't more people in their group. Oh, we get together, we have a Bible study. Where is everybody? And after prayer and after wondering kind of thing, this is part of the devotion. And after prayer and wondering and asking God, you know, what's going on, God? Why couldn't you help us out here? Show us where the growth is. They were led to this scripture in Luke. In Luke chapter 10, verse 2. Some of you may know it. These are the instructions that Jesus gave to the disciples, so those who are following Jesus. He says, the harvest is great, but the workers are few. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his fields. This is the revelation they got from God after praying. Oh, it's right there. Look, there's the scripture. What should we do if we're frustrated that things aren't growing? What should we do if we're frustrated that even though we kept all the rocks out of the way, even though we kept all of the wild bushes out the way, the thorny bushes, those pesky plants. What should we do? Pray. It says, pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. And what should we ask him? Ask him to send more workers into the field. And so that was the devotion, but it didn't end there. She said that they committed to praying for workers at a specific time. At what time? 10:02. Luke 10:02. So each of them committed to praying at 10:02, but they knew they couldn't do that, so they set an alarm on their phone at either 10:02 a.m. or 10:02 p.m. Of course, if you're in college, you sleep past 10:02 a.m. So some people prayed at 10:02 p.m. But at 10:02 a.m. and 10:02 p.m., someone was praying what? That the Lord would send more workers to the field. The harvest is plentiful, amen? There's plenty of people out there that need to receive the gospel. There's plenty of people out there that might want to receive some of this seed. There's plenty of people out there that need to know the loving and joyful presence of the Lord Jesus Christ, amen? That's plentiful. There's loads, 61,000 people in Palm Harbor. We got work to do. So what I want you to do today, before I give you two questions today, what I want you to do today is take out your phone and set an alarm. And I'm only going to ask you to pray for Palm Harbor, not the whole state of Florida, just Palm Harbor. I want you to take out your phone and set an alarm on there. Now, if you sleep past 10:02, I'm so thankful you get to sleep in that late, but I don't. At 10:02. Set your alarm for 10:02 a.m. and label it, pray for the workers. Pray for the workers. Now, you can do that at 10:02 a.m. or 10:02 p.m. If you pray at night, 10:02 p.m. is a great time too. And when the alarm goes off and it says, pray for the harvest, pray for the harvest. Just a short prayer. Pray for the workers that they'll be available to minister to the harvest. Last two questions. Ask these questions of yourself. What are the rocky places in my soul which don't allow seed to grow? You know them. God knows them better than anybody else. What are the rocky places in my soul that don't allow the seed of the gospel to flourish? Seeds can't grow in rocky places. What are the rocky places in my soul which don't allow seed to grow? That's your first question. Second, where are the thorny, pesky plants? You know who they are. You know what they look like? They keep growing in and taking over your life. Where are the thorny, pesky plants in your soul that choke out the joy of following Jesus? It's a joyful journey to follow Jesus. It's a joyful journey to follow Jesus. But the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. Keep sowing seeds. Keep rejoicing that Lord Jesus Christ wants to dwell in and amongst your life. And ask God, Lord, send more workers. Amen. Let's pray together. Gracious and Heavenly Father, thank you so much for this story that you told. Thank you that this story resonates with each and every one of us. And we pray, Lord God, that you would help us find the thorny places, find the rocky places, so that we can flourish 30, 60, or 100 times. Lord, ask us, show us how we can sow more and show others the good news of the gospel. We ask this all in your precious and powerful name, and everybody said, amen.